Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to the MasterChef After Show. Look at that. That looks smooth as silk right there. We're going to be talking about the latest episode, A Piece of Cake. Find out how our home chef did when they had to compete against for a sweet 16 birthday competition. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Look at that. There you go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the MasterChef After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. A little bit of the Archies. Sugar Sugar playing us in since we are talking about a sweet pressure test later on in this episode. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. And to my left, we have the lady that is the whole reason you tune in for the show.
That's true.
Maria Provenzano.
I am digging this song. I didn't know what song they picked because I was primping myself because it's been a long day. But anyways, I'm very excited about this. That was a good call, Frank. I am Maria Provenzano, and you can find me at Maria Provenzano on Twitter, and all of my information will be there. And I did not get to make you anything today. I'm so sorry.
That's right. I mean, I flew all the way across the country to get here.
You did.
And I was like, I can't disappoint Maria Provenzano. I got to be
here. And then I disappointed him. I'm so sorry.
All right. That's
all
right.
I'll make it up. I was on the Hallmark Channel filming for Home and Family all day. So if you guys like the Hallmark Channel, Home and Family is a really great show on there that I contribute DIYs to every once in a while, and I just will happen to be on the show tomorrow.
Look at that. And I happen to be out doing something where I was filming for the Hallmark Channel as well.
That's
so
right.
Look at that.
That's right.
Oh, how great. And we can't forget the person that makes us sound so good here in the booth. We have James.
Hello. Hi.
We're hoping you can hear James this time. Clear. We got some notes from our viewers that they had a hard time or couldn't hear him the last time. So if you guys can hear him or you can't hear him, just let us know.
That's right. And we do not want to miss any of James's special thoughts
throughout the
episode. Yes. It was nice. I had a little fan shout out to me on Twitter about saying, hey, I missed you last week. Are you going to chime in about any thoughts about last week's episode before you roll into this next one? And I will just say it's really cool that we got to see a double elimination because they always tease it on MasterChef. Like, more than one home cook can go home. And we rarely, if ever, have seen that. And it was so great to see a double elimination episode. So, sorry, Diana and DeAndre. I do not miss either of you, especially Diana. I mean, it was too many times at the bottom. She needed to go.
Yes.
So, see you later, Diana. But now, let's talk about tonight's episode here. We got a piece of cake. So it starts off there where, of course, we have Edward Lee. He was here last week, and he's back this week in a sweet little blue cowboy shirt.
Robin had a very big problem with his fashion the last time. I don't think she would have liked this one either. I'm just saying.
Well, he is back, and we find out the challenge this week is the reason he probably dressed so colorfully is Christina's got her doughs before over bros.
Doughs over bros shirt.
Yes.
And I want it.
You want that.
Sorry,
right.
I'm trying to get, I promise I'm listening. I'm just trying to get our chat up on here.
We find out that the challenge and the reason that they're dressed so colorfully and all that.
Sorry, they said, Maria, that's 2 weeks and no delicious food. I know. I feel terrible.
Yeah. You know who else knows? My belly knows that too. My belly absolutely knows that. The challenge is they have sweet 16 birthdays, and so they're going to be cooking for 30 kids that are going to be celebrating their 16th birthday.
That sounds terrible. I think this sounds like the worst thing ever.
It's interesting because I guess as they're talking about how you're going to approach this, the idea was to try to hopefully cook meals for them that are maybe remind them of comfort food they had growing up, but elevated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either of our teams really approached that in that fashion.
I mean, I think the red team with the mashed potatoes, but sweet mashed potatoes. I guess maybe in the mashed potatoes and the chicken and the bacon type of thing. Maybe I think they were closer to that, but I was saying to Frank when we were watching it, I'm like, why not do like elegant sweet potato fries. I thought that sounded good with like some really nice Parmesan the other thing that I didn't like about this one in particular with the criticism from the judges is that they really didn't give 16-year-olds enough credit. They're like, well, they're 16. They're not going to like vegetables. They're not three. Like, my 3-year-old doesn't like vegetables. So when I was 16, I used to love roasted vegetables. If they're done in a good way, I mean, I don't think they're giving the 16-year-olds enough credit. I thought that bright green puree that they decided to scratch, I thought would have been perfect on the plate because it's bright and it's inviting, and I think it would have balanced out a lot of different things.
Well, we'll get back to that.
Sorry, just one.
No,
really
no, you
jumped
that. No. Maria's. I'm excited about this episode because I have a lot of questions for Maria. Because she had a lot of opinions about this.
Well,
as we watched the
Frank
episode.
And I watched this together, and I was like flipping out the entire. I mean, literally flipping out the entire episode.
So it's gonna be exciting. And as Maria was saying before, she is in manning the chat right now. So if you have thoughts and comments about this episode as well, feel free to chime in on the chat. If you have a question for Maria in terms of the food prep they did, in terms of the baking challenge they did for the pressure test, chime in on the chat. We'll get to those comments and thoughts and questions as we go on through the episode.
How do you like your sweet potato fries, Maria? Or Frank, or both.
I don't like sweet potato fries, to be honest.
Period at all? Have you never had a good one?
I love sweet potato fries. And I like them with, like, Parmesan and maybe some thyme, like fresh thyme.
I never had them like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've had them with cayenne pepper and cinnamon.
Oh, well, I can like that,
I've
too.
I've had them where it's, like, I think sesame seeds maybe and honey.
Oh, wow.
Glaze.
Sesame seeds and honey. And then you like the cinnamon and what else was
the
on
cayenne.
The
cayenne?
Cinnamon. Yeah, cinnamon, cayenne. And sweet potato, because sweet potatoes, you tend to have a lot of sweet potatoes in the fall. So that's a very, like, fall spin with sweet potatoes. Let us know if you guys
and
eat sweet potatoes.
And then as far
fries.
As veggie goes, I mean, like, asparagus with, like, melted cheese is always good.
But oh, yeah. Exactly. You know what? That's right. I don't know if there was wasn't cheese in the boxes. But nobody did anything really cheesy.
No, that's true. They did
and
not.
And everybody, it doesn't matter if you're 16. Like, everybody loves cheese.
I think that's a universal truth.
Yes.
Yes, unless you're lactose intolerant, and at which point
then
you may still love it, but then you hate it. So we find out the captains, though, for this team are Eric and Katie, who had the best, most successful dishes last week.
Yeah.
So they get separated. Eric's the red team. Katie's the blue team. And just as they picked their teams, I thought Eric had a standout team.
Mm-hmm.
He had Sean, Tenoria, Terry, Alejandro, and Dan. I mean, just right off the top, those first four, first three, Sean, Tenoria, and Terry. Really strong heavy hitters on that. I thought for sure going in he had the advantage.
You know, and I did too because of Terry and Tenoria, but you know, Dan's always, he's actually pulled through a lot. Dan has, I think, his personality is what gets him in trouble.
Yeah.
But his food has actually generally been good. Like last week with the balls, he was good. They're surprisingly good.
Yes.
The testicles, yeah.
He seems so reluctant to call those by their proper name.
You know. Anyway, so yeah, Alejandro, he has been struggling, you know. So I was a little worried about that.
And then we have on the blue team, of course, Katie picks her team: Brandy, Andrea, David, Diamond, and let's just talk for a moment about how annoying Nathan was during this episode. Man, I'm not a huge Nathan fan to begin with, and this one, boy, did him no favors.
This was pretty bad. Like, Frank and I were watching this together. Okay, and by the way, normally Frank watches prior to coming here, and I'm always sitting here by myself watching. Frank was sitting there with me. We watched together because he's been traveling, and he didn't get to watch it last night. And I got to witness Frank's, like, and my, like, he got to witness my frustration of watching Nathan in this episode. It was beyond bearable, almost. It was almost like I was like, is this real? How did he even get on the show? He didn't know how to cut tomatoes.
That, come on. Like, you do not know how to dice tomatoes? That was ridiculous.
And then he was like, wait, fresh tomatoes with fresh avocado? I'm like, yeah. Fresh tomatoes with fresh avocados is, like, one of my favorite salads with some really great burrata. And, like, just salt and pepper or even red pepper flakes. I mean,
well,
it
so
was
frustrating.
It was beyond. It was everything. It was like he was, I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
Well,
they knew you'd be cringing.
Yes. Because we find out as they wheel out Edward and Gordon, they wheel out two big gifts for them. Because it's all, if you're talking about 16th birthday, you need to have presents.
Yeah.
And so each team gets one of those huge presents, and they have to use whatever's inside there to prepare their meals. Nathan, his first comment, well, first he was going to pee himself when he thought about that.
I mean,
like, okay, whatever, Nathan. But then he said he can remember his 16th birthday, and he had sushi and lots of greens. And I just thought to myself, what a dull party you must have had, Nathan.
I like sushi.
Come on, for a 16th birthday, come on. Like, no, you know, sushi and lots of greens. Like, whatever. Come on, I want to have fun.
Yes. And you know what? I'm probably 16. I don't. I don't know if I mean, I was living in Michigan. We didn't have a lot of sushi there, so I probably didn't think sushi. But if I lived in L.A., I mean, we have sushi.
Yeah, but he's
sushi.
From, like, Kansas.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's the kind of 16th birthday that makes me think only people were there were, like, aunts and uncles and his mom and dad.
Well,
that
and
was
okay.
It. It was a bunch of adults and no other friends. His age came.
You know.
When I turned 16, I went to City Walk and had pizza.
That's a great birthday right there.
City Walk and pizza? Yes.
Yeah.
In our chat, let us know if you're hearing James. I'm so worried about that because we got that note from one of our viewers. I think they hear you, James, right? I'm hoping.
I was excited that they weren't like, hey, tell that guy in the booth to shut up.
That's right.
That they were like, hey, we just can't hear what you have to say.
Oh my God, they just wrote in the chat, sushi greens and no friends. You are also bad.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. I agree. That is his 16th birthday to a T.
It was painful listening to his complaining.
Oh,
and
yes.
His questions and just, I mean, I felt really bad for Katie because I felt like she was going to rip her hair out.
Yeah, because he wanted to be on the shrimp. He made it, as he kind of like whispered that the whole time, I want to be on the shrimp. I want to be on the shrimp. And then he just puts on veggie duty. And then as we were talking about, we've already seen how he failed miserably on that. I don't know. And he was so defensive too. Don't yell at me. Don't yell at me. Like, they were not yelling at him. They were just, you know, we don't have time to coddle. We have to keep going. We got only a certain amount of time to cook this stuff.
And to be honest, like, you're on a show where you're supposed to be master chef, like.
And I give it up for Andrea because she said exactly what I was thinking this whole time.
Yes,
is that she's only a year older than him, and she is much more composed in the kitchen than he is.
She was my favorite in this episode because she finally was just like really, you should know how to cut tomatoes, and she was saying all the things we were thinking.
Yeah.
And then she had to be sorry if I'm sniffling, guys. My allergies are terrible. But so she had to like go around and help him. And she was just like, I can't believe that I have to.
Yeah,
do
exactly.
This
you
right
should,
now,
you should like, be better
you
than
should
this.
No.
What? James,
I didn't know what
a,
was going on.
James
there.
Has a delightful photo that he tossed up there along the way. Now we see that, of course, they come down and they start talking to the blue team, and Gordon kind of, you know, checks in with them, see what their idea is. And you can see as they're breaking down the menu, they are all over the map in terms of seasoning, in terms of flavor profiles. And Gordon says, you got to just get all on the same page with this.
Yeah, exactly. He was funny. This is why I like Andrea, because he came over and he's like, you have Latin. She's like, we don't have Latin. We don't, like, she was just like all sassafras in his face. I was like, I like you.
Yeah.
We're going to be friends.
It was all Asian for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. It's just Asian.
Well, that's what and then they said, what I loved is she's like, okay, we need to cut something. We need to cut the salsa. We have to cut the corn. And like Brandy's, that was her first instinct, cut the corn, whatever. And Nathan is like, really? Like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Snap. It's not about you.
Yeah. You know, and please, Nathan, just take a lesson from Dan. Dan wore shorts. He wore shorts as he's cooking tonight. So you can relax on the jacket and bow tie.
He gets really upset about this.
It's just very too much. Upset about Come the on. Ugh. And I will say, the one other comment there about the blue team, Brandy. Man, her hair was just, man, all over the place today. That was like a huge buffon. That was big. That was big. That's all I'm going to say about Brandy. I just noticed how big that hair was at the beginning. She reined it in, though. She reined it in for that.
You know, when she pulls her hair up. Every time she cooks, she has to pull her hair up, which I totally get because there's so much there. And, you know, I think kudos. I like that she rocks what she has. You know, it's just a lot.
That was just a lot. That was a big man of hair she came rocking in with. Now, the red team, their problem is that they probably have too many things. And so they decide, as they're talking to them, they decide to simplify and they get rid of the puree. Now, Maria, you did not agree with that.
I was very upset about that. Here's the thing. This is why. Because they came over and said, but you're serving this to 16-year-olds. Like I mentioned before, you're serving this to 16-year-olds and it seems like a lot of veggies. But it's veggies, but not just like, here, I boiled or steamed some veggies and they're on a plate. Like, these are really gourmet and beautiful. And I thought the color was so vibrant. I was wondering how they got that vibrancy out of those. What was it? Parsnip? Do you remember?
Yeah,
parsley.
Parsley. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's added the green. Okay. Parsley.
And was it a pea?
And pea.
Yeah.
And parsnip, right? I thought I heard parsnip somewhere.
There may have been.
Okay. If you guys know, let us know. But yeah, so it was just, I mean, I was disappointed hearing from the chefs that they thought 16-year-olds aren't, I don't know, cultured enough or educated enough or, like, their palates aren't, you know, whatever to enjoy vegetables when they're properly done. I'm like, come on now.
Now, did you agree though with the idea that they had too much going on? And would you have kept the puree and taken something off instead?
I think I would have had to like actually see things by like I don't know. Looking at the plate, they had the sweet potato, they had the chicken, and then they had some kind of sauce that went over it. Do I think that the green could have probably worked on there? Yeah, I do. I think it probably could have balanced something out. To me, it looked kind of boring and bland, in all honesty. And it looked like a home cooked meal. And that's okay. But I think these are supposed to be elevated meals. You know what I mean? So I think in terms of appearance, the blue is better.
You know what would bum me out about that plate with those? Just seeing like this, like I agree that they should have done something different with the sweet potatoes. Because just seeing the mash of the chicken laying right on top of it, that just like, it's like a banquet meal. That's what we're getting.
That's kind of what it was like, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like that presentation of that already made me like, whatever. I was not excited about that. So I agree, if they would have done something else.
Yeah.
With that sweet potato.
I think, like I said, everybody loves french fries. Not just 16-year-olds, but everybody loves french fries. And if you make them gourmet and you make them really nice, or even have like a good aioli, aioli is glorified mayo. But have an aioli on the side and like put them in a cool, like for presentation, have them all standing up instead of sitting on a plate. Like do some kind of cool thing where they're standing up and then have like really cool chicken with some sauces that, you know, can, and then a dip.
That would have been nice. I would have liked that much more because it felt like certainly sauces would have benefited them. Yeah, because that chicken seemed to be way under-seasoned for comparatively to the red
blue. Which is interesting because it was cooked in the bacon fat.
Yeah.
So you would think it would have a nice saltiness to it.
But it just seemed to be the general consensus that it was like, kind of bland. As they're cooking away, though, they start letting in the teenagers for the Sweet 16 party, and they're just checking in with each other. Hey, you 16? Hey, so am I. Happy birthday.
Like, I'm here with my friends. I'm like, you guys don't know each other.
Oh, my gosh. And the one guy, the one kid that chimed in, the boy, where he says, oh, yeah, he called it his Sweet 16, too. And I feel like that just seems weird coming out of a boy's mouth. Like, I feel like Sweet 16, that seems to be more just girl-oriented. Like, you call it your Sweet 16 for a girl. Or a boy. I'm here for my Sweet 16. Just
maybe
weird.
He wanted his Sweet 16 to be sweet.
Oh, that just seems so weird to me. I don't... James, did you call your Sweet 16 your Sweet 16?
I did not, sir. We live in a different time now. It's 2016. That's perfectly fine.
It's the year of the Sweet 16s for everybody. Okay.
It really is.
We are not here to... We're not here to judge.
No. It just seemed weird. I feel like that's... All right. Okay. I'm standing alone on this ledge.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. And I will do that. I will do that, everybody.
That is hilarious. But so, can we give a shout out, just because I'm watching our playback, to Frank's beard?
Oh, like God. My scruff. My road scruff. Yeah, look at me.
I like it.
Do it? All right. I'll start a Twitter poll. Should I keep it or not? No.
Oh, my gosh.
So we see the red team, though, has a little bit of a challenge. Again, raw chicken. Boy, the raw foods being served, the raw proteins being served this season, they seem to be pretty heavy.
Yeah, chicken, you can't, like...
No, that's why that you can't, but it seems weird because they were, I mean, they're saying, as Eric was saying, we're checking the temperature on all these. Gordon, I'm glad he just didn't take it at its word and say, no, I'm going to actually check this out myself.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, I mean... I think he's so experienced that he just knows by looking. And he walked over and you can tell by the touch. And he was like, these are raw.
Yeah, man, he really laid into them too, which I loved.
He did, because you can cause some serious harm. I mean, salmonella poisoning salmonella?
salmonella. Yeah.
Food poisoning. It doesn't matter. Have you ever had food poisoning?
Oof, yeah, it's not good.
It's gnarly.
Yeah, and I did like Gordon's, like, you know, these kids have been dreaming about this for months. And then when he just, like, with Tenoria and Eric just pointing at them and just yelling, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I feel like if I've gotten Gordon Ramsay sticking his finger in my face and telling me to stop it.
He was heated about it, too.
And I did like that when they cut back to Alejandro and Sean, like, Sean was just so confident, like, that didn't come from me. I'm all good. And, and Alejandro just took one like, man, it probably may have come from me.
Yeah. I feel like he was mentally checked out already at this point. Because he's been like in the bottom and I think he's done. Yeah. He was just sort of out.
And now when it gets down to the end, everybody's rushing. They're already commenting the blue team because they're going spastic at the end of it. They're way behind in terms of plating. They have so much left to go with only like 90 seconds left, and they're just throwing shrimp like crazy. The way they're supposed to be, and like Nathan's running around, I've got two shrimp! I've got two more! Move it!
And then he has his like snap peas.
Yes.
And he's like, I have five! And she's like, just put them on the plate. And he's like, you said to count them. Well, it's like be smart enough to know we're at the end. Like, get something on the plate. And he's just like, I didn't count them. Bah.
Oh, it's so terrible. And so when time runs out, they say, oh, you know, hands up, everybody. And so I guess I would need to play that back. But Andrea felt like that Nathan kind of hit her at the time up. So then she went back and slugged him, too.
Well, no, what happened was, did you see him hit her?
Because was it deliberate or was it just accidental?
No, it was deliberate. I almost want to like go back and watch it because she had said something or like I don't know if she elbowed him or like because he was like over her and she I can't remember what she like what her reaction was if she either said something or if she had like moved her arm and he went like that with the napkin and then she went and like pushed him. I don't blame her. I would have done the same thing. Plus, at the same time, you have a lot of heat going through and adrenaline. You're just all worked up. And at that point, they were all probably wanting to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And so he got on her and she pushed him. And girlfriend, I don't blame you.
Well, you just saw like even just at the beginning when they're trying to start, they're deciding what they're going to cook. And you see the beginning process for the blue team. Just a lot of cutaway shots to like Gordon just shaking his head like, what is going on? What is going on?
That's how we felt. They like your scruff.
Oh, well, thanks, everybody. All right. Look at me.
Didn't see the first hit. Okay. I mean, I almost want to go back and see because I know he was, like, on her because I remember he hit her with a napkin and then that's when she pushed him. So I can't remember if she, like, hit him first or if it was just because he was, like, right on top of her back or if he said something. I can't remember. But he, like, hit her with a napkin.
It was nice to like our first, like, physical altercation there in one of the challenges.
I wonder if we can find the video of it. We're going to have to look it up.
You know, and it's just like, I feel like the way Nathan just, you know, regardless of his behavior, but just the fact that he felt like so, had such a lack of confidence in terms of cutting and preparing the vegetables, that right there just tells me this kid is not MasterChef material. He's not going to go the distance.
If you have to ask how to cut tomatoes, come on, dude. Yeah,
you have to be honest with yourself and just know, I'm not going to win this competition. There's just no way.
Okay, I'm really trying to find if I can find the video.
So we see, we end up though, the red team, they've got a pan-seared chicken with candied bacon, sweet potato mash, and a balsamic vinegar. I mean, as we talked about, it looks like just like something like at a banquet. You get that and you get served out to you.
It didn't really look special.
The blue team, they had grilled shrimp and they had coconut rice, snap peas, and then they had the something else, the lemon.
You said the shrimp? The
coconut rice?
The coconut rice. I thought it had some lemongrass in there as well. And then I think there was like a dipping sauce for the shrimp, wasn't there? Yeah, on the side.
Yeah.
There was like a dipping sauce.
They hand it out, and we get to just hear what all the kids start thinking. And it seems predominantly, I really thought the red team, as we talked about, just by team alone, I thought red team was going to easily win this. Cause, you know, Nathan is, and the way they were cutting it, seemed like Nathan was just going to be the downfall of the blue team.
It looked like he was really going to be the downfall.
But I mean, you started hearing enough of the opinions from this from the kids, just talking about the taste, the taste, and it just seemed like for a lot of people, the chicken was just kind of bland.
Yeah, and that's which surprised me. You cooked it in bacon. Like, what happened?
And I feel like it seems to me that for it to get that far, like, how could you not, like, be tasting that along the way and realizing that, guys, it's not, we're not getting a lot of saltiness, we're not getting anything out of this.
Yeah, I mean,
unless they were thinking that just that little strip of candy bacon was just enough that was going to, but that's just so tiny compared to the rest of the chicken.
Yeah. And maybe it just, maybe they thought they didn't need to season it because they were cooking it in the bacon fat. I don't know.
Oh, man. It was disappointing. So when they bring everybody together, it is no, as Gordon says, it was no contest that the blue team won hands down on this.
80%.
Oof. Yeah, sorry, red team. It was surprising. So the red team's got to go to the pressure test. And it seemed awkward because we both commented to each other. It's like, you did not take the cake, but I'm going to.
Yeah, and then she picked up the cake. I was like, what is she going to do something? And then it kind of clicked. But
and we find out that the challenge for the pressure test is a baking test.
I was really excited about this, of course.
Yes. And who better to have with you where you're watching a baking pressure test than Maria Provenzano? Making delicious treats, baking them all the time. So good. Even though there's no tonight, so I can't vouch for tonight's what they would have been. But I'm sure they would have been great.
They would have been great. I do actually make a really good chocolate cake.
Really?
You know what I do? It's like a secret. So they, in here, we're making a lot of butter-based cakes, which is fine. And Dandy. And, like, I... Sorry, you guys. My allergies are so bad. I, like... Ugh. Keep sneezing. But... So, butter-based cakes are great. Because butter has such great flavor. But... if you use oil, like a good oil, like sunflower seed oil, I really like using, or grapeseed oil, you get a really moist cake.
What about applesauce? No. Okay. Well, I've been shut down.
Well, the thing is, you can use applesauce, but they generally use, I think if you're making like an apple flavored cake, it would be great. But people use it as a substitute. I would use a sour cream to make things more moist. You use a sour cream or a buttermilk. You want the tanginess, and that causes, that reacts with the baking powder, baking soda, whatever, and that's what makes it kind of light and fluffy and tender. But here's the secret. So when I make my chocolate cakes, I use an oil based, and then I add, because you're using cocoa powder, and then you add in a cup of hot coffee, because what it does is it actually makes the cocoa in the cocoa powder like bloom. And it makes it more flavorful. Plus, coffee and chocolate go really well together.
So,
do you find a certain coffee to pair it with that you know pairs well with coffee, like a
certain
dragon or something?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Like Komodo dragon, or like Verona, or like a French.
Oh, a certain chocolate that goes with it.
No,
I mean,
like
you're
a
using
coffee
you're...
that you make sure, like, oh, this definitely pairs well.
No, basically all coffee goes with chocolate. It's not like wine. It's not like how different wines won't go well with chocolate and. Will, like, you wouldn't, you know, necessarily, you would have like a Vinsanto to go with a dessert, and you wouldn't necessarily have like a Pinot Noir or a Sauvignon Blanc to go with dessert. Wine, like, not tons of wines go well with chocolate. There's certain ones. Coffee, on the other hand, coffee is sort of like the flavor profile is going to be somewhat even throughout. You're going to have some more rich and some that are not, you know what I mean? But essentially, coffee is coffee, so it's going to go with chocolate.
But could you just use, because you're talking about it's got to be
mayonnaise
hot coffee.
Mayonnaise works too. Sorry. Mayonnaise does work too.
As opposed to sour cream?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't use them together. Yeah, it would be like one or the other. But sorry. I'm like, you'd think I was around a cat like 5 seconds ago. I don't know what it is about LA's weather right now. I'm like a sneezing maniac. But anyway,
I think it's my beard. That's what it is.
I'm allergic to Frank's beard.
Thank you, everybody. I gotta go.
That is so funny.
Because you're saying that the coffee's got to be hot. Could it be? What if you just poured hot water in? Is it the heat that makes the cocoa bloom?
It is. Mm-hmm.
So if you just poured hot water in there, would you get the same effect? But
you wouldn't have the coffee. I mean, so you don't necessarily taste coffee in the cake. It just makes the chocolate taste richer and better.
Okay.
Yeah, and don't you fold in bean egg whites to make cake fluffier? You definitely can. There's just then you would. I wouldn't do the coffee because that'll just melt the egg whites. But yeah, I know a lot of people, when you're making like a really nice chiffon cake, you can fold in the egg whites and it makes it really light and beautiful and pretty.
But you wouldn't get the cocoa blooming. So you're just
kind of... That would be for... I wouldn't necessarily... I mean, if you do it, you could do it with a chocolate cake, definitely. But it would be just, two different... I mean, there's so many ways to make cakes. It's not just like eggs, flour... butter kind of thing.
See, I'm a fan of dark chocolate. That's where I love that stuff. So if you had to choose between milk or dark, so your chocolate cake, how dark are we getting?
It's rich. It's really rich. I'll have to make it.
Well, you guys heard it here, everybody. I think Maria Provenzano is committed to making this chocolate cake.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that was... It was a verbal agreement, so it's we're bound by law by now. So
I guess I am. Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Oh my god!
That's right. When you get the AfterBuzz TV exclusive, then for sure it has to happen.
I'm just saying.
There you go. You walked right into that.
I did. I'm sorry. When's your birthday, Frank?
November. Oh, Hell's Kitchen time.
Oh, Jesus.
Bye. Yeah.
I am never going to be able to leave this place. Frank keeps talking me into doing all of the shows.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. All right. I mean, end of September, Hell's Kitchen returns.
Oh, Lord help me.
We're talking about Gordon Ramsay shows. But that's in the future. All we know is that a chocolate cake at some point is going to be in front of my face, and I can't wait. So we do find out that pressure test those. They have to cook a 3-layer frosted and decorated cake. It doesn't have to be birthday cake. It could be any kind of themed cake.
No, it
cake.
Was birthday cake, wasn't it? Birthday themed. Cake, it was themed. Sweet 16,
yes.
Right?
And that Christina very carefully cut into a cake that she had made. I always wonder about that. Do you think she made it?
She's supposed to be like legit when it comes to...
Do you think she made it, though?
Maybe. I think if her name's on it, she probably did. Yeah. It's like how me, I'm OCD. I would be crazy if someone was like, "This is Maria made this." I would actually want to make it.
Because, you just don't know.
If it's your craft, I would... I personally would doubt if this is your craft and your name's on it, I would make it.
All right. So she cuts it open. You see that every layer for all the sponge, all even, and then the layers of frosting in between, all even as well. Mm-hmm. Have some nice decorations on the top of it there. Really impressive. It's got to be MasterChef quality. And they get 90 minutes to do it. 90 minutes is that, I mean, that's just barely enough time, right?
I mean, barely. And I would say it's possible if you have a blast chiller, which it didn't seem like that was the case for them. But, I mean, a lot of competition shows that you watch on the Food Network and things like that, blast chiller. I mean, even for, like, Iron Chef, which I love, they have the blast chiller because they have an hour. Well, they have an hour. I mean, this is an hour and a half, but they have an hour to do certain things. But this specifically, because it's dessert and because it's cakes, I mean, I make my cakes, sometimes I make my cakes the day before and then frost them the next day. Like, that's how long you can go. You know, it's just, it seems unreasonable to make them do that without a blast chiller. It's just like asking for the frosting to melt all over everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Edward and Gordon, they know right up front, as they say, like, this is a really tough challenge. Yeah. We've kind of made this almost uncomfortably so.
Yeah.
And Edward, like Edward said, so you have to have the same intensity at the beginning and let that intensity continue all the way through if you're going to be able to make it out in time.
Yeah. So I'm laughing because what they're saying in the chat, the timing thing bothered me too. In the time, no one's cake would have matched Christina's. I agree with you because the frosting was so thick in hers, but her cake had plenty of time to cool. Thank you. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You can't compare it to that.
You can't compare it to that because she wasn't in. Then put her in the competition with them and see if she makes the cake equal or better than in the same time.
That's very true.
Everybody else is in the cooking challenges.
Yeah, we haven't seen Christina in one yet. Yeah, we have not seen her in one yet.
And if you're going to bake, teach them how to bake. Do what Gordon Ramsay does and stand there in front of them and teach them how to do something because she doesn't do that. Gordon Ramsay teaches them how to kill and get all the meat out of a lobster or how to, like, cut a chicken so that you have beautifully beautiful cuts to do fried chicken. He can stand up there and teach you anything when it comes to cooking.
Do you feel like the reason that she doesn't is because just the whole process would take so long in terms
to make a whole cake, yeah. But in terms of, like, a technique, maybe a frosting, I don't know. I mean, if she wanted to show the technique of doing, you know, the drippings that she had, like, on the top of the cake, I think she needs to...
You want to see her, you know, put her money where her mouth is.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're going to be judging everybody, let's just see what you can do.
It's
Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, Gordon Ramsay does it.
Gordon Ramsay does it. And Chef Lee, who was there this time with a cool shirt, he he did it. And we've seen, Chef Aaron Sanchez.
Yep, he cooked it out. Yes.
Chef.
Even Chef Christina. Christina from
Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah, Wolfgang Puck did it.
And then the one from the, we're just naming everybody.
Yeah.
Come on, Christina.
That's true. She hasn't, other than just showing us this lovely cake she made.
I would love to see her bake. I would love to learn something from her. And I think, make a pie. she needs to bake on the spot.
Yes. All right. Well, hashtag bake on the spot.
oh, my God. I love it. This is Lee Jen who is saying these comments. I love you. And I hope I'm saying your name right. L-E-I. Lee. I'm assuming. Jen. Thank you. I love your comments. So anyways, I love all the comments in the chat. I love when people are, like, actually saying what I'm thinking.
There you go. All right.
We all agree on this.
That's right. See, Maria loves when people agree with her.
Yes,
right
I
there.
Do.
Yep, that's right.
Yes, I do. That is, I agree with that.
So we see them getting right into it with 90 minutes.
Yes.
And already people are just, you were loving Terry because I love what Terry's approach was that he wanted to make a wedding cake when he got married and his wife said no. So he wanted to use this as an opportunity to do that. Now
I love him. I mean, he's just a big teddy bear.
Yeah. Now, I mean, say your husband, when you guys get married, he said, like, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I would love to make our wedding cake.
Okay. Here's the difference is that Terry loves to cook and, you know, bake. Like, remember the pie he made that was so beautiful? My husband, I mean, he can grill some stuff. That's it.
But even if we said, you know, Maria, you've baked me so many great things during time that we've been together that I would love to just to show you how much I love you and how much I've learned from you.
Thank you.
I would love to take this moment to show you how much I love you by baking you our wedding cake.
Okay, not for our wedding. Absolutely not.
Man, I just did.
But I do a quick funny story. He did make me a cake one time. He threw me a surprise birthday party, and he made a cake. And when he did the cake, he did it with his sister who was going to help him. And she's like, okay, well, let's go get like a box and put it together. She's like, he's like, no, I have to make it from scratch. It's for Maria. She's not. It's a terrible thing to say. It makes me sound like a snob, but I'm kind of a food snob. She's not going to eat anything from a box.
Oh,
which is
snob.
True. I don't. And so he made me a birthday cake from scratch. I think it was two layers. It was a two-layer 9-inch cake, chocolate. Tried to make the one that I always make with the hot coffee in it. And sort of attempted frosting, like a chocolate frosting.
And?
It was pretty good.
It was just... It was pretty good. And what did you tell him, though, at the time?
That it was pretty good.
I admire your honesty. I admire your honesty. But could you really tell the difference if he had just made it from from a box?
Oh, I can't even tell you last time I had box cake. So maybe not.
But if, like, so as long as you, if you didn't know it was from a box and you ate it, could you tell the difference between like a made from scratch as well as a box cake?
I think box cakes have so much in them that almost makes them foolproof. So they're probably good. You know what I mean? So
they're
anybody
definitely
can.
Good.
Yeah.
I love box cake. I love
my
it.
My sister's favorite cake is funfetti. Ooh. So, but you can make your own funfetti. Just add sprinkles to the batter.
Or you can just get a cake in a box and just do it that way. You don't have to worry. It's really much simple. You just put some eggs in there, some oil. You whip it away. Maybe some applesauce. You want to keep it a little healthier. That's just me.
Mayo. I'll take the mayo over the applesauce.
Mayo. You know, if you had to choose between mayo or sour cream.
Sour cream. All the way. Okay. Oh, my God. I could swim in sour cream. It's like the best thing ever.
Tune into next week's MasterChef After Show when we have a big tub of sour cream and Maria's going to swim inside it. All right. It's going to be exciting. What an episode. Swim. That's right, because it's a two-hour episode, so we need to do something momentous. So to celebrate that, Maria will swim in a big tub of sour cream. Woo-wee!
Wow. Blind taste test that they're saying here. Huge difference. Okay, so Christopher said huge difference. Blind taste test. So homemade is definitely, in my mind, I'm thinking definitely better. I can doctor a box cake. Okay, yeah, you can make your own box cake better. And that's the thing. I think box cakes probably taste really... I mean, nothing tastes like a good quality homemade cake. But here's the thing. A bad quality homemade cake is going to taste worse than a box cake because box cake is foolproof. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I making sense? Okay.
Now, see, because I love a box cake, but like a sheet cake that you get from a grocery store... Can't stand that.
No.
Because I like the frosting's too much. I don't care about it. Yeah.
It's overly sweet. Yes. And they use shortening a lot. My mom makes her buttercream half shortening, half butter. I do mine all butter. It's not as easy to spread. Not as like, because shortening is processed. So it's more sturdy. It can stand up to, I'm assuming she probably has that. And Christina probably had it in her icing. I'm assuming, but I like the taste of just butter and buttercream.
I enjoy the nice whipped frosting.
You like it really light?
Yes, because like if cupcakes, like I just need just a little frosting on top. I'm not a huge frosting guy.
I like frosting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But even like a cupcake, when they do the big huge swirl, like that's just way too much frosting to cake
ratio.
You're
not eating it right.
How am I supposed to be eating it?
Okay, homemade is better. Yes, I agree with you. But okay, so. Take your cupcake. This is your cupcake. And you literally have to take... You've seen people do this. I know you have. Take the bottom part off. And there's like that top of the cupcake that's like the muffin top.
Yes.
That already has the frosting on it. And then you take the bottom and you sandwich it. And then you... So that... Yeah. I'm not kidding. We're going to try this.
I've never heard that before.
Oh my God. We're going to do this. We are going to do this.
Really?
Sometime on this... Okay. One of these after shows in this season of MasterChef, when I have the time.
We're in Sandlot right now, and she just taught you how to eat a cupcake. When he's like, come on, Smalls, you don't know what a s'more is? Like, I've never heard that before either, Frank, so I'm with you.
What?
Thank you, James. Thank you.
Oh, my God. You just don't understand.
Yeah,
oh, my God. It was funny. I felt like, okay, so when Christina, you know, cuts these slices of cake, she's like, I might seem little, but I love cake. Like, that's me. I'm like, I should say that because that I might be little, but... I know my desserts.
Man, I'm impressed. That is cool. I want to.
So it's
I'm
a sandwich. It's sandwiched, like frosting sandwich.
Well, yeah, I guess. But that's like,
if you don't like frosting,
yeah,
then it's not going to work.
It's not going to matter.
No,
That's right. Well, yeah, that's very, very true.
So you liked yours. You like yours really whipped.
Yes. There you go.
All right. Now you guys know a little bit more about. That's right. Yeah, Frank Moran.
Yeah, wow. It's yeah. We're sharing secrets tonight on the next step after show.
I want to swim in sour cream, and Frank doesn't like frosting.
Yeah, that's right. Look at this. Look at this. Secrets revealed.
Oh my God! I am not swimming in sour cream.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You've already said that you were going to. So, I mean, that's right there. I mean, that was a verbal commitment you made on there. That I feel like that's another AfterBuzz exclusive.
There you go.
TV exclusive. Thank you, James. So that right there, you are committed. I will get the tub. We're going in next week. She'll put on goggles. It'll be nice. We don't get any in her eyes. It's going to be very safe. Very fun. So now, as Gordon goes around and talks, as much as we were really about Terry, yeah. Dan the man.
Oh my God, you guys.
He says, I like the idea of his cookie. It was going to be cookies and cream cake, so it seemed intriguing, but he didn't. He was going to do a little Dan surprise. And when Gordon asked what that was, he says, like, I prefer not to tell you. Which already, like, I feel like if Gordon is asking you several times to tell him what the surprise is,
yeah.
Tell him what the surprise is. Because there's probably a good reason that it's not a great surprise, and he's going to steer you clear of making that horrible mistake.
And, you know, I thought he was going on a good path. Because a really great way, oh my gosh. So, sorry, this is total side note. Lay Jen says, also a small girl who loves desserts, that she goes, if the cake and cupcakes made very well, very little frosting, and it tastes good. So, I can devour a good, moist cake with no frosting. I agree with you.
Thank you, Lay.
My husband can just eat frosting. I feel like I like a balance. But I do like good frosting. I make a good sour cream chocolate frosting.
Wow.
It's on my website. If you want a good chocolate, I think the actual title of it is Best Chocolate Frosting Ever or something like that. I managed to have done it. I did the actual post a couple years ago, but the recipe is really good.
Guys, check that out on our website. For me, chocolate I will just frosting. Beg Maria until she bakes it and makes it in here for me. That's my secret to making
it's
that.
It's pretty rich. It's not a light whipped one.
I'll take rich. Okay. But as long as they're not unless that's what I hate when you have like cake and then the frosting's like taller than the
cake. Okay.
Ugh, that's when I'm like, see you later, cupcake.
Oh my goodness.
There
Frank.
You go. That's when I feel like I just eat. What I'll do in that case, when the frosting's too high, I will eat the cupcake from the bottom like this. And then once I get up to the top, then I just like, see you later.
Bye.
And
But Dan, so I thought it was clever when he put the chopped Oreos, and who doesn't like Oreos? I mean, come on. And they're vegan, in case you're trying to be healthy. So he was putting them around the outside, which is a great way to conceal an imperfect cake and make it look pretty.
Very true.
Yeah.
Kind of hiding up all your flaws.
Plus it adds texture, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I've done that where I've added crumbs around the outside, and you cut in and you get that sort of crunch, because I love texture and things. I'm always trying to figure out, cooking and baking, what creates texture, because that's what makes it interesting. And that nice crunch on the outside, it's really good.
Would you have taken some and sprinkled it in with the layers of frosting in the layers?
I'd have to think about that.
Was that too much?
I'm thinking it could be. I think on the outside it's just enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we see it's a big thing about the cooks. So they get their cakes in long enough. Tenori happens to be the one to get that in last. But then we see the cakes, they're starting pulling the cakes out, start frosting.
Yeah.
And this is the point where it would be interesting to know if a blast chiller was available to them. Because it just seems 90 minutes, given what you were saying about that. I feel like there had to be a blast chiller, because some people are able to frost right away. And who knows how long they let their cakes rest. I guess it's tough to tell in terms of
It
how
didn't
soon they...
seem like it, though.
I would think you'd show that moment.
I feel like you have. I mean, if they're not showing it, I don't think there would have been the mess of. I mean, it's a blast chiller. I don't think there would have been the mess of the frosting without it. Yeah.
And speaking of the mess, we get Sean and watching him try to frost his cake.
It was painful.
Man, so his frosting just starts melting right away, and then he starts wiping it off. That was disturbing to watch him wipe all that frosting off.
You know. I don't know if there would have been a better way. I don't know what to do in that point. Like,
why not just get like a spatula or something and then just kind of scrape it off this way? Then he just get like a cloth and he was just wiping with a cloth.
His emotions get the best of him sometimes.
And I did like Gordon
say. He's so frazzled.
He's wiping somebody's backside.
Yeah, I laughed. That was really funny.
Well, because even at the beginning, he felt like he was still carrying over some of the residue of losing the challenge.
Yeah.
And I did like Gordon, just like, hey, well, you got to just stop.
Take a breath.
So we get everything done. The last second, Eric, who had said, you know, for his like, you know, sometimes to bake for the guys at the station. You know, I want to do this fire truck, the kind of decorated cake. That all went out the window, though.
I mean, it wasn't even close.
No, there was nothing on that cake that resembled. I mean, at 10 seconds left, he's running to grab candles and just throwing them in at the top.
And I mean, if you want that bright, vibrant red, you need food coloring. That's just at the end of the day.
That was just not good at all. So they bring all their cakes up to the front. Even Eric, as he says, you know, I'm looking down and I'm just seeing all these fantastic cakes. And then there's mine. And maybe Alejandro's doesn't look that great either.
Yeah.
They taste Eric's. They say it looks terrible, which it does. No worries.
I'm just sneezing. I'm so sorry.
But it tastes okay, but it could have packed more of a punch, especially in the terms of the coloring and and the flavor of the frosting.
Okay.
Yeah. Sean, though, man, surprisingly, for as much flop sweat as he had, flop sweat.
Okay.
That's where you're just like, just getting there.
I think you said flop sweat the first time we saw
yes,
him.
Yes, there you go. Yeah,
okay, flop sweat. I think I had the same reaction. What? Let me know if you guys say flop sweat.
Yeah, who doesn't? Come on. James, you say flop sweat?
Never heard of it
before. All right.
Thank you.
Damn it, everybody. And you lost my pen now.
He's got Maddie through his pen.
But Sean, though, he pulls it off. As much as we thought that this was going to fall apart given the way the frosting was melting and him wiping somebody's backside, it came across really good. And it looked, I mean, just the look of it, it looked nice.
Yeah.
Seeing where he started when he was trying to frost.
Yeah.
Boy, that cake looked actually pretty good.
Excuse me, you guys, this is bad.
Yeah.
I haven't to sneeze again. Why am I getting sneezing attacks when the show starts? I was totally fine when we were watching. Anyways, the flavors I thought that kind of across the board was interesting too, that people really like didn't just do chocolate and vanilla. They really tried to go above and beyond with all the fruit.
Yeah. And I felt like other than Dan, nobody else did chocolate. Everybody else did like more of a vanilla base with fruits and stuff.
Yeah. Can be ambitious.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's why I would have gone chocolate.
A lemon curd is ambitious to make.
Yeah. Speaking of lemon curd, I mean, Terry's.
Sorry, we'll get there.
Yeah. Terry's looked impressive. Just the appearance of itself.
Yes.
I could definitely see that being some sort of like wedding-esque cake.
Yeah. And it wasn't really for a sweet 16. I would have been happy with that as a cake, but I think they wanted something that was a little bit more birthday cake themey. I think that's why Sean won, because of the impressive decoration and the colors were more vibrant. But in terms of, if you look at it in terms of, I guess, presentation and overall appearance of just what looked the best, I think Terry's did. And then when they cut into it, it wasn't as even, though.
No, I felt like that top layer was a little indented compared to the other ones.
But he hit it really well.
Yeah, and I did like as Maria was saying, they're like her and Christina, like, man, because that slice that Christina cut out of there, that was a huge, huge slice.
Huge, yeah.
I mean, she just went boom.
Three layers is a big cake.
I was impressed. I was like, all right, thank you, Christina. You can cut my cake anytime. If you want to serve those kind of slices.
Well, yeah. That's the best way to see it, though.
But it's like, you know, I hate when you go to the bakery and they're like, hey, you want a slice of cake? And then they just cut you off like this little slice and you're paying like $8 for it. You're like, no. Pay $8.
It only happens in L.A.
I want like a huge wedge of a cake.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
For $8, I want to buy a whole cake.
Yeah, exactly. Tenoria, she put lavender in her cake. I'm not a fan of lavender myself.
I love lavender, but if you're going to make lavender in something, you make like a lavender simple syrup or something like that, but you cannot put whole pieces of lavender on the top. He said they look like mouse dripping.
Yes.
They're dropping.
then we have Alejandro, which unfortunately he put like a chocolate on top of the cake, and it kind of conflicted with all the other tropical flavors that he had inside. He had passion fruit and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't think it would have worked together.
Yeah, and he'd frosted his cake back when it was still too hot, so everything just kind of melted, and it was hard to distinguish what was sponge and what was frosting.
And that was true. It really was. You couldn't see. Sorry, what they're saying in the chat. So Jazz 41173.
Jazz.
He said, like I said, it seems like it's for the show with the drama in one team, then surprise, the other team is up for elimination. So meaning like, you know, with the melting of the frosting and things like that. So you never know how they edit it. So Sean might have taken his cake out and then just really tried to rush it. But maybe his cake was done before everybody, so he ended up having time to let it cool.
Yeah, no, that's
true. It's just the way they edit. So I agree with you.
Then we end it with Dan. We get to find out what Dan's surprise was, and he made a nautical cake, which Gordon asked, what's a nautical cake? And basically all that meant was that they made a little anchor out of pretzels and then had little peanut butter cups kind of being like the chains of that anchor. And that was ridiculous.
Did not work.
I don't understand. Like, he's like, this anchor's stupid.
It was beyond. I mean, it was just idiotic.
And dancing is like,
it was so.
It was. It's like, it's me on a plate. Like, what's an anchor?
What does that mean? Are you do you sail or boat or something?
Yeah.
And no other part of it had anything to do. Sorry, I'm going back to chat for a sec, sort of digress. So Christopher said he made lavender, or he had lavender lemonade today.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
That sounds terrible.
It's so good. What? I have a recipe on my website for lavender lemonade.
Raspberry lemonade, boom,
Christopher, it's good, right? Lavender lemonade, fresh lemon juice. I love lavender. I mean, you gotta try it.
Christopher, you can be honest. I mean, it's just us in the chat. You know, you can be honest. You can tell me how terrible this lavender lemonade was.
No, it's really good.
I can't be. There's no way that's possible.
That was so funny. Jazz said, not really cake guy, but now I want some brownies. Brian. Oh, yeah, I know. Alejandro. They liked him.
Yes. So we get down to the end, and we find out that the person that had the best cake, Sean. Which I thought for sure it was going to be Terry, but then hearing some of the other, like, you know, the short upper layer, maybe perhaps not themed as properly towards Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So Sean ends up having the cake of the day.
Yes.
So look at that. For a man who is wiping somebody's backside, he walks up to that balcony there triumphantly. Then we have Terry and we've got Dan. They both come through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like Dan has hopefully learned his lesson. Like, don't no more Dan surprises.
And Chef Lee called it frivolous.
Yes.
He just seems to have some growing up to do.
Yeah, well, you know, but I appreciate him because he wears shorts. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. You wear shorts in the kitchen. I love you. Nathan, take note, please. So then it comes down to we've got Eric, Tenoria, and Alejandro.
Yes.
And, you know, Tenoria, she surprisingly, for being as strong as she was, she kind of stumbled on this. Not as bad as Eric and Alejandro did. But, it was very sweet, and there were some serious errors, as they said in there. But I did not have any fear that, given out of the three of them, I didn't think Tenoria was in any real danger.
No, I didn't think so either. I agree.
I would not have been surprised to see Eric. But I feel like... The fact that even though his frosting didn't have a lot of flavor to it, at least it was there. I mean, comparatively between him and Alejandro, both cakes were kind of decorated, kind of eh. So I think it really came down to taste.
I agree with you. It came down to taste. And then Alejandro, I think the real mistake was adding the chocolate on top because I just don't think it worked.
Yeah. So, I mean, they bring out Alejandro first, which sometimes makes you think like, oh, that person's going to be safe. They're going to kind of really take him to the edge and then say, but we're going to give you another week. And it felt weird the way that Gordon saw it. It's like, you had too many mistakes. You had so many mistakes, but... And you felt like we're going to give you another chance. But that whole sentence seemed awkward.
They all do that, yeah.
But... it was too much anyway, so we're going to send you home. Like, it seems so weird to me the way he said that. Like, it should have maybe been an and instead of a but, because the but made it seem too weird.
It allows for editing.
Yeah, I guess. Purposes. I mean, I guess you get, like, the but gives you a nice little pause, but, like, I feel like it didn't make sense the way they steered it around.
No.
So Alejandro goes home, no hugs, you know, no handshakes with the judges, but it still seems like pleasant, though.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, and you know, are you disappointed? Like, well, yeah, I think
I think everybody really liked him. He had a nice personality.
Yeah, but I felt like he came in strong and then started kind of, as the weeks went on, started kind of stumbling.
He did. He struggled a lot in the last. James is telling us to wrap. Oh my gosh, Christopher said it was so good. He kept getting refills, so we took some of the lavender lemonade home with him. I would have too, Christopher.
I don't know, Christopher. I'm scared. Real quick, as we get ready to wrap it up here, now see where we're at right now. Are you changing who you're rooting for the competition?
I still think Terry, Brandy, and Tenoria are the top three.
I'm gonna go with. I was still going with Tenoria and Terry. I think that's it. And Sean, okay. I'm putting Sean as my dark horse.
I agree with you. I think Sean is a dark horse.
Yeah. I think if he keeps his cool, he could go far.
Yeah.
But I can't see any... I can't see anybody else. I mean, you're saying Brandy, I'm saying Sean, but I can't see anybody else really.
I don't think he would win it, but I think he could be a dark horse, like under the radar and then pop up. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is a strategy. I got to see him put to the test then.
Yeah.
To see if he comes through.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that is going to do it for this episode of the MasterChef After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. But feel free to like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on our iTunes there. Follow us on Twitter. We love to continue the conversation even after the show is over. Maria, where can they find you online?
Okay, sorry. You can find me at Maria Provenzano on Twitter. And one last thing to our chat. They go, so next week, MasterChef After Show, Fear Factor Edition, Maria swims in mayonnaise and Frank and frosting.
Yeah. Oh, who cannot watch that?
And Frank needs to try the lemonade. I think that is, you guys, our chat was awesome this show. You guys are amazing.
Yes, thanks so much for jumping in the chat. So everything you need, Maria Provenzano.
Yes, you can go at Maria Provenzano on Twitter. My website's there. Lavender lemonade's there.
Everything you need. You can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie. Check us out next week. It's a 2-hour episode of MasterChef. So we're going to be breaking down 2 episodes for the price of 1 here. And we're going to make sure we get that sweet sour cream tub all set. It's going to be exciting.
I am not
sweet.
Yeah. No,
get
I am not.
Ready. Sour cream. Sour cream. Sour cream. See you next
frosting,
time, everybody.
Frosting.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.